Eagle 98.1 Game Day is on the air.
Presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
It's time to talk LSU football on the flagship home of the Tigers. Call 225-499-9898.
Live, overlooking Champion Square with Ochsner.
It's Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Now, here's Charles Hanegrip and Richard Dixon.
The dream season for LSU culminates in the national championship as the Tigers beat Clemson 42-25 in the Superdome, and the party's still going on here in New Orleans and will in Baton Rouge and all of Louisiana for a very long time. A historic performance, a perfect performance for the season for LSU. I said it in the pregame, Richard, on the Daily Show today. This is the day that everybody, if you're an LSU fan, this is the day you've waited your entire life for. This is the chance for the perfect season, the perfect quarterback, the homegrown coach, the game in your state. This is the one, okay, that you've waited your entire life for. And now that it's reality, I know that it hasn't sunk in for everybody yet, but the jubilation, the unbridled joy of so many people in that stadium for this program, for the LSU family, it's just impossible to see anybody wearing purple and gold tonight that doesn't have a huge smile on their face.
No, and you can't put it into words. I don't think that maybe two or three LSU fans left when the clock said zero. The stadium was full of purple and gold. We watched the celebration. It almost seemed like the Superdome had to kick us out. They started telling us, hey, guys, we're tearing everything down. Y'all got to get moving. It was amazing. You can't put words to it. And like you said, it hasn't sunk in yet because tonight was a big night.
For Joe Burrow and this offense, the record-setting year culminated with more records that were set tonight. We went through a lot of those during the scoreboard show. Let's hear from you. 499-9898 is the number to call. Christopher in Baton Rouge is first. Christopher, welcome into the show.
Go Tigers, go Tigers, go Tigers, national champs, man. What's up, Charlie? It's just the best season from any team you have ever met. Now, I'm going to throw something out for you that you may have thought about it, maybe not. The only team that I've ever seen come close to this, but they didn't finish the deal with the big win, involved the person that was in the stadium today.
Which, and help me out here. I'm a little punchy.
It was a mouse.
Oh, the Patriots. That's right. Yeah. Well, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and it took one of the damnedest catches you've ever seen in your life to knock them out. This team, this program, came really close in 2011 to putting up the kind of resume. Richard, you just rattled off the teams that they beat. That year, they had beaten the Rose Bowl champions, they had beaten the Orange Bowl champions, they had beaten the Sugar Bowl champions, and they beat what would end up being, unfortunately, the national champions. And they did all of that away from Tiger Stadium. Yeah. They were on the brink of what we're talking about here, which is, hey, this is the best. I mean, who else has beaten this kind of competition? This year you're going to, but it would have, the narrative would have been, well, okay, they did it, but maybe the offensive numbers weren't as good. This one, you beat all of those teams and you set every record along the way doing it.
Yeah, the biggest difference in 2011 was a historic defense.
Yes, that was the numbers on the defensive side.
And this year it is a historic offense.
Historic offense. Joey is in Keller, Texas. Joey, welcome into the show.
Hey, Charles, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing outstanding, Joey. Thank you for asking.
Well, about 20 years ago, I went to the University of Texas, and I came back and I called Richard Condon, and I told him LSU's never winning a national title. I've never been happier to be so wrong.
Yeah. Well, you think back 3 years to when, when Ed was hired. There wasn't a whole lot of support for the hire nationally.
Yeah.
There was an awful lot of disdain for the way that the process went down. And none of that matters anymore. All of that goes by the wayside, and he has accomplished now what almost nobody in the history of the sport has accomplished with this team.
No, and the the guts he had to do it the way he did it. He, you know, originally said he was going to go out and get the best offensive coordinator, and everybody knows that that was probably Lane Kiffin. Didn't work out, so he went for the biggest name out there. It struggled. It was a bad hire, you know, and he had a conflict in that year one. Then he lose to Troy. I mean, it started about as bad as it could in that first, you know, year for Ed. But, you know, to go out and completely change the offense, to hire these guys, to get go out and find Joe Burrow, I mean, he's done everything with just, you know, just amazing courage to go out there and do it, because he's a guy in year three that's got to win now. I mean, he's a guy that really in year two had to win now, just from the outlook of people not sure about the hire. And, you know, like you said, none of that matters anymore.
And it's hard for coaches to change. If you've been successful, you've got to a certain point, especially a high level, doing things a certain way. It's hard to say, no, I have to change. And he did.
Yeah.
And you got to give him a tremendous amount of credit for that. Ryan is in North Georgia. Ryan, welcome into the show.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing great, Ryan. Doing fantastic.
Hey, obviously, we're all doing great. I saw the secondary tonight came up big. Delpit, Kerry Benson. Hey, look, as much as everybody dogged out Kerry Benson a lot earlier this year, he came up big. And obviously, Jordan Jefferson, he was the go-to guy. He made all the little plays tonight and through the year. We had a great year. And it's unbelievable. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you for the call. I'm gonna give you a pass on Jordan Jefferson. It's just
yeah,
it's okay. So it's
all
right. We knew what you were talking about. Patrick Queen. How much better was he tonight than he was at the beginning of the season? I'm going somewhere with this.
A lot better. He's a guy that I saw glimpses of last year, and I've talked to with Hester, and man, he's a guy that has gotten better game after game.
Was Kerry Vincent better tonight than he was in September? Was Grant Delpit healthier tonight than he was in September? Was Kalavon Chaisson better tonight than he was in September?
Yeah.
Just those guys right off the top of my head. Stingley was terrific all season, but, you know, 12 games, now 15 games under his belt. There were a lot of guys that grew up on that defense. Tyler Shelvin had a fantastic
Christian
year.
Christian Fulton, he played his best ball after, you know, the first three or four games.
They were a better defense at the end of the year than they were at the beginning, and that's all that you can ask. And you forget about, you know, some of the garbage yards at Ole Miss, forget about some of the garbage yards at Vanderbilt, which was one of the things that this defense was taking a task for. They made the plays, they got the stops when they needed them, and they were better tonight than they were against Oklahoma. They were better against Oklahoma than they were against, you know, certainly Ole Miss. They got better as the season went along.
There's no question. I know that, you know, a lot of people were starting to question Dave Aranda. Well, he's paid over $2 million for a reason. I think that, you know, the biggest thing that he was learning this year too. He had never played with an offense like this. He had never played with a fast-paced offense. He was used to having time to make adjustments, get to the sideline, having 3 or 4 minute drives, and make those adjustments. That's why earlier in the year, you saw a lot of quarters coverage, a lot of zone. He wasn't sure how to play with his fast style of offense. He got away from playing man, which is what he had done so well in the past. I think that, you know, as you talk about what they got better, Dave Aranda got better all year long, and I think he figured out exactly how to play with these guys in this type of offense.
499-9898 is the number to call on the Hooters hotline. Kurt is in Omaha. Kurt, welcome into the show.
Hello, Hanny. How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
I'm over to the moon, man.
Everybody is tonight, man. Everybody is.
Hey. I flew in from Omaha to New Orleans to just be in the atmosphere, because I wasn't paying $1,000 for a ticket. But I tell you this, Patrick Queen, the pride of Ponkapi Parish, the parish I grew up in, showed out tonight. He played a hell of a ball game. And Coach O, I mean, thank God for him. He makes being Cajun just
cool.
Being cool again, being great again, stop ball again. It's great, you know. You know, all the being butts of jokes and all that, it's over.
He talked about that, you know, and Kurt, I appreciate the call, man. He talked
you?
About that in the
because you know you've heard that for years,
yeah,
and he's never mentioned it really. He never brought it to the forefront, but I guess in this moment, it was the right time.
He is something that is rare in the profession, and that is he's mostly transparent.
Yeah.
Okay, football coaches as a general rule. Are guarded to the point of paranoia. He's not. He's very transparent, very genuine, and he's sharing a little bit of his own personal journey there, even though he's usually not willing to say it's about me. He's very much the opposite of that. It's not yeah. about me. But that's a little glimpse into, yeah, you know what? I heard it. And I think that as much as they try to block out the noise, yeah. okay, sometimes you hear it.
Winning cures everything.
Yeah, it
just
does.
Like he goes, I was punching my chin at Ole Miss and getting made fun of it. Now everybody
right.
loves it.
Right, it's a whole lot different now. It's a whole lot different now. 499-9898 is the number to call. Take a break. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
LSU, the national champions, by a score of 42-25 tonight in the Superdome. 499-9898 is the number to call. Tyler's in Prairieville. Tyler, welcome to the show. Tyler?
I love you and Jimmy's show, man. Look, we're trying to get that gap, baby, and I think they got it tonight.
That's Musso spinning the tunes back in Baton Rouge.
Hey, I hear you, bro. I kind of just want to go off for a second, bro. I'm just tired of hearing about all these defenses that is going to stop LSU's offense, bro. Well, all we heard about was Texas defense. All we heard about was Florida's defense. All we heard about was Auburn's defense, Alabama, A&M. Then we got Georgia in the Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. And then we got Oklahoma that's supposed to have some phenomenal defense. And then we got Clemson. Clemson's supposed to have this number one defense. I'm so tired of hearing all this number one defense, number two, number three, number four. How about can we talk about LSU's offense being number one in the country, number one ever in the college football? Can we talk about that?
Tyler, that's all anybody's been talking about, man.
You can't play
the disrespect card on LSU's offense. I'm sorry. Nobody talked about Oklahoma's defense. Nobody thought Oklahoma's defense was anywhere near Georgia or Clemson's defense.
We just got to score enough points to keep up with them.
The list of records is as long as my arm. Everybody's talking about LSU's offense. That's all anybody's talking about.
100%, I agree with that. But, man, look, I watched ESPN all morning, and all they could just talk about was LSU's defense. I mean, Clemson's defense is gonna stop Joe Burrow. I'm like, no,
watch tomorrow, Tyler. Watch all the same shows tomorrow. I promise you.
I'm so fired up, baby. Hey, go Tigers, baby. Go
Thank
Tigers.
You, Tyler. Go Tigers. Appreciate it. Nolan's in New Iberia. Nolan, welcome in the show.
I just wanted to congratulate the Tigers. 8 years of heartache finally came to an end tonight.
That's as good a season as you can have, man. That's as good a season as you can have.
15-0.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Nolan. I appreciate the call. Jay is in Prairieville. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, Jay. Thanks for taking my call, man. Great season, great win for the Tigers tonight. Had a quick comment, though. For the first time all season, I saw my boy Joe Burrow slide for the first time. What do you think brought that on, man? Do you think somebody from the NFL got in his ear, or what's going on with that?
Okay. Thank you. Unique question. I got a theory, but you go. I'll let you go first.
You know, in my opinion, he was just getting down, keep the clock running. I'm trying to remember back when it was. I know the play he's talking about, but he had gotten the first down.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was really just trying to get down, and I can't remember the exact situation.
There were a couple of times tonight. I thought it was about, listen, I gotta be smart about this. I gotta stay on the field tonight.
Yeah,
I gotta be there. I don't want to take a chance. Okay, there's brave, and then there's just reckless. Okay, there's no reason. I get hit in a game in the middle of the regular season. Okay, maybe I come back. Maybe we can win a game without me. I got to be on the field the entire time tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't take the chance. We don't have a play chart in
You're
front
not
of
living
us
for tomorrow at this point.
No, yeah. No. That you got to have to. Burrow, Chase, Jefferson, Marshall, Moss, Edwards-Helaire. I can count maybe on one hand the substitutions that were made in the skill group tonight. I think Curry had two snaps.
Yeah.
I think Dylan had a snap. I think that Sullivan had a couple of snaps, yeah. And that was it. Because when you get to – I got to have my aces on the field.
You had the A game.
Yes, this is the A team, okay? Yeah. This ain't the game for – listen, we need to get some guys some playing time. This isn't the – we got to impress the committee. We're not spreading anything. All my guys in the skill position groups are going to go out there, and they're not coming out unless they're injured or exhausted.
No, there's no question. I mean, those guys – and those guys don't want to come off the field in this game.
No.
At other times, they're like, okay, we've got a nice lead. Let's get out. Let's get other guys in. Let's don't risk injury. Tonight, these guys have earned to be in there in as many plays as they possibly
And I
could.
Think that's what it was for Burrow, saying, listen, I got to be out there. However many times we snap the ball tonight, I got to be in for every one of them. So, yeah, I'll get down this time. Glenn is in New Mexico. Glenn, welcome into the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Glenn.
Doing great.
Hey, a couple things. I got in late, so I don't know if anybody's asked this question, but a few things for you. Why do you think LSU, you know, looked like they just gave up on the running game tonight? Didn't do any RPOs? I know it's hard to talk crap. LSU won national championship. And secondly, Queen, is he the next Devin White? Go Tigers.
All right, thanks. I don't think they gave up on a running game at all.
I think they got stopped in the first half.
They did. They ended up running for 165 yards tonight, and a lot of that was Burrow. Now, he was sacked 5 times, but he ran the ball 11 times besides that. And then you had Clyde.
A quarter that was
monster, and they put the game away that way. That's a really good defense on the other side.
And the way they were doing it, they were filling gaps. Go back and watch it and watch the linebackers. They were blitzing to stop the run. They were not going to let you get going. They were making sure that they wanted their guys to play, you know, coverage for 3 seconds, and they didn't want to give Joe time. It was complete opposite where you've seen guys rush three and try to play coverage against Joe. They weren't going to give him that option. They wanted the ball out of his hand as quick as possible.
Patrick Queen had an unbelievable game tonight. He doesn't remind me of Devin White at all. Devin
different
White,
style.
Yes, they're different style linebackers. White was a bigger guy.
Similar recruitment, though. You know, they were both running backs.
They were, yes, that's a good point. So they have that similarity. Queen strikes me as a guy who, at the next level, is going to be an edge rusher that is going to play, that is going to make his living playing on the outside. And White is more of an interior backer. He's probably, what do you think, 20 pounds heavier than Queen?
I give him 15.
15, 20. 15 to 20.
But you know, I saw, it's going to kill me, I can't. Not gonna be able to find it this quick, but I saw a coverage stat on Queen this year,
yeah.
And at like 365 coverage snaps, he's only given up like 160 yards all year long.
Yeah,
he's a guy that's, you know, he's a very, very fast guy. Plays sideline to sideline as well as anybody. He's got that length to come off the edge, but I think he's a complete outside linebacker. He's a guy, yeah, that can get out in coverage and is going to have a hell of a future in the NFL.
A three down linebacker on the outside, yes. Whereas White is a three down linebacker on the inside.
No,
yeah, so I don't think they're similar. They're similar, but I think he's got a hell of a future, and he came a long way this year. 499-9898 is the number to call. LSU wins the national championship 42-25. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Tigers are the national champions, 42-25 over Clemson, and they finished the perfect season, and they played neck or some
they,
version of
it
neck.
They played loud and chanted loud and clear.
Even Joe Burrow on the sideline.
Oh,
he's,
they got him.
The legend grows right there, huh?
He does everything. It goes from that to smoking cigars in the locker room. I mean, he is an all-around legend.
Yeah, if you just had all of the numbers and all of the wins, you've got enough
material. You got the
material
and the attitude and the
swagger. You got the pageant wave at Texas. You got the EAUX on the back of the jersey against A&M. And now you got him doing neck. No, I'm sorry.
It's over.
Yes, he's – somebody in the press conference asked him, we played it during the school board show, says, you're going to be remembered for decades. I'm like, no, forever. Yeah. Forever. He's a legend. Forever. Okay? As long as there's a Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge playing football, Joe Burrow is a legend there.
He
forever.
Is up there with Billy Cannon now. I mean,
yes.
It's Joe Burrow and Billy Cannon.
They will be talking about Joe Burrow long after everybody on this team has passed on.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, we're still talking about the 58 team, okay? We still talk about, and many of them have passed on.
Yeah.
That's what they'll talk about this team, and they'll talk about Burrow like they talked about Cannon.
And he's 60 touchdowns.
60 touchdowns. They won 15 games this season. 15 games.
And won the national championship by 17.
15 games. You realize that when Curly Holman was
29-0.
Right. You realize when Curly Holman was a coach here for 4 years, they won 16 games in 4 years? They won 15 games this year. 499-9898 is the number. Carrie and Alexandria is next. Carrie, welcome in the show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We are doing great, Carrie.
I only wish my dad was alive. He died in 2012 at 67. He's seen every single LSU game since he was like 5 years old. He raised us. I'm 54. He raised us from the crib on LSU football. I remember watching Burt Jones play. I remember watching Alan Richard and Steve Insmeager and Tommy Hodson and Tommy Casanova. I saw Charlie Mack be the coach, and then Bo Ron, who never was, and Mike Archer and Bill Ornsberger and Curly. What we witnessed this year, I'm going to have to literally grab the top of my head. It has been unreal.
It's the best season. It's the perfect season. It's the historic season, Carrie. And, you know, for a fan like you that's watched all of those things that you just named, how could it be any more special than tonight? And it's a family thing. I said that earlier in the day. You know, this is the things that we passed on from generation to generation, the bind that LSU football has put families together. She's a perfect example of what we're talking about.
And you got to know that your dad's just smiling as big as anybody.
Absolutely.
Up there right now.
Absolutely.
Can I just tell y'all this?
Go ahead.
We lived in Colorado for 5 years when John Elway played in the 90s and when Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharpe was on that team. And Joe Burrow has been more fascinating to me than Elway was. So
big words.
I cannot wait to see what he's going to do in the NFL.
God bless, Carrie. Thank you for
calling
tonight. Randy is in Baton Rouge. Randy, welcome into the show.
Ooh, yeah, Charlie. The cream rises to the top. Charlie, I'd like to know, when we talk about the cream rising to the top, I want to know if you got the numbers in front of you, the final tally of the teams that Joe Burrow and this LSU Fighting Tigers beat this year. They beat the Citrus Bowl champ, the Orange Bowl champ. How many top 10? What's the final tally? I got to know.
It was seven when they played them. And I think I think it's going to be five when the final poll comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'll be Clemson. It'll be Georgia. It'll be Alabama. It'll be Florida. And it will be – I think Oklahoma's going to hold on to the top 10. So I think the final tally will be seven when they played and five at the end.
So my question is, who has anybody done that before? And I'll hang up after my question, but I also want to say to Carrie and everybody out there, I lost my sister this year to cancer. I know the pain that I'm going to switch over to Dusty Rhodes and say, my hand is reaching out to your hand, sister, and I feel you. I know the loss of a family member, but I know they're smiling down on us, and they're smiling down on Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron and the Tigers. Love you two gentlemen, and good night.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. You know, another family story. I love those.
Yeah.
I love those. No, to my knowledge, there has not been a team in the final, whether it be the AP or the coaches poll, that has 5-7 like that. You know, you've got more games now, okay, if we're going to be fair about this. But, no, there's not another body. Clemson, for instance, won the 15 games last year. They did not have that kind of resume.
Yeah, Clemson won 15 games last year and might have beaten four ranked teams.
Well, they beat so the two games in the playoffs, obviously, yeah. But they won the ACC championship game in a walk. And I'm trying to remember what A&M was ranked when they went to College Station and beat them. And I want to say it was in the 20s. So I don't remember that. It's not this.
Yeah.
It's definitely not this. Let's see. Brad is in Baton Rouge. Brad, welcome into the show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Brad.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think why do you think they didn't play Miles for one play tonight?
Because this was Joe.
It was Joe Burrow's night.
He earned every moment to be out there.
Yeah.
I understand that. But I think they should have at least given that young man at least one play tonight.
I'll tell you, from guys that have been on the field, when you fought so long and this was your goal, you've been working out all year long, it would have been, you know, almost disrespectful not to let Joe Burrow take that final kneel. You know, everybody wants to be that guy on the field. I mean, when you've put your blood, sweat, and tears into it, when you've talked about going 15-0, you breaking these records, you know, they didn't sub anybody, really. I might have seen one sub on that final play, but Joe wasn't letting anybody take the final kneel.
No, he deserved to be out there. And, you know, we touched on this a little bit earlier with the substitution patterns for the skill guys. It was almost none tonight, and that did not surprise me at all. We didn't even see a whole lot of rotation on the defense. Now, Michael Divinity played a lot tonight.
Played way more than I thought he was going to play.
Well, they were in a dime more than maybe – The film would have indicated. You see, they were behind for somebody. So you saw Divinity a lot. I thought he played really well. Mm-hmm. I thought he made a difference. I thought he got up the field. I thought he made his presence felt. But outside of a couple of the interior linemen, we didn't see a whole lot of sub on the defense either.
No, I mean, you had
we saw Ika and Shelvin because they were trying to keep the big guys fresh, but – man, I think Rashard Lawrence played the whole game.
Played the whole game. When Delpit had a little cramps for a minute, you had another guy come in.
Delpit had Mohampton.
Mohampton came in. Kobe Stevens went out with a look like a stinger.
Well, okay, Mohampton came in for him, actually.
Okay, I can't remember who came in for Delpit.
But I don't remember seeing Cordell Flott out there.
He was out there a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Okay. I didn't see a whole lot of Farrell tonight or Anthony or Thornton. It was pretty much the same. I don't know. Did Ed Ingram get a snap on offense?
I don't think so.
It's the guys, yeah. Okay? You guys had a comfortable lead over Ohio State at the end. Everybody stayed until the end, right?
You know, and kind of similar. We got down 10-0 really quick, a 10-point deficit, and came back from it. I can't remember if, you know, I'm pretty sure that it was actually different. We had some guys come in and take that final kneel.
Oh, really?
I can't remember positively, but, I mean, it was a game that a little bit different. You know, this game, it felt like we had to play that whole fourth quarter. We got up and kind of strolled in the fourth quarter in our game.
Ron is in Baton Rouge. Ron, welcome into the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In 58, I made all the home games and two out-of-town games.
Nice.
And in the 59 through 61, I played the Tiger Band.
So this has been a half a century worth that you followed them.
And I've been having season tickets ever since. But look, here's my question is, what does it look like for next year? Our receivers, I think most of them are sophomores, will be juniors next year, won't they?
Marshall and Chase will be. Jefferson would be a senior, but I suspect he's turning pro.
So Marshall and Chase, isn't there one more that's a sophomore?
Not that played a lot. Well, Racy McMath, played a little bit. Derek Dillon's a senior. Stephon Sullivan's a senior. Those were really the next two of the next three guys in line. So you'll have Chase and Marshall back and McMath back. And I'm anxious to see Trey Palmer in the spring. So plus, you got some really good Kayshon Booty coming in.
Now,
so.
Moss is a junior or senior?
Moss is a junior. I expect that he's probably going to go pro as well. It'll be something. They got to decide quick. The deadline is Friday, right?
The way it was pushed back now.
Everything was pushed back, so they got to do it quick. Ron, I'm going to tell you, enjoy the win tonight. A lot of the guys that have eligibility left played their last game for LSU tonight. I'm not going to go through it player by player. We'll do that probably on Wednesday and Thursday, but a lot of those guys, they took their final snap. They won the game. They won them all, and, they deserve it. So, that story's for Thursday and Friday of this week. Thank you for calling. Take a break. Be back with more. LSU wins the national championship, 42-25 over Clemson. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Tigers win it 42-25 and win the national championship, the school's fourth national championship and third since 2003. And we'll get to this probably later in the week. The idea that LSU since 2003, three national championships, three different coaches, you played for four. Since the BCS era, you're talking about two appearances in a championship game in the 2000s and now in the 2010s, and you won three of them. It's a pretty short list. Yeah. I know Alabama's got a lot of the accolade stuff, and Clemson won two out of three.
But say that in that time span that three were won by – three different coaches.
No, the only school that's ever done that is Miami. They did it with three different coaches. They won five over roughly the same amount of time from Schnellenberger's last one through Coker's was 19 years. Yeah. This was 17, but it was the same amount of games because you played less games back then. We did the analysis last week. It was 228 games during Miami's run from the beginning of the first championship season to the end of the last one. They won 82% of their games. LSU, from the beginning of that first championship season in 03 through tonight's game, 228 games, 77% of them, three national titles. It's closer than you would think to what Miami did during their unbelievable run. Final AP poll is out, so we can tell you exactly what they've done. Richards, it's actually even better than what I thought. Clemson finishes number two, obviously, but Georgia finishes four, Florida finishes six, Oklahoma finishes seven, and Alabama finishes eight. So it's not just five wins over top 10 teams. It's five wins over top eight teams, if you like that number a little bit better. Auburn at number 14, and Texas snuck into the final rankings at number 25. So it's five out of the top eight, and you were – you finished number one, so it's only two teams out of the top 8 teams in the country that you didn't beat. They didn't play Ohio State or Oregon, and then you got two more wins against top 25 teams. And just for good measure, Texas A&M would have been 26. They just missed out. So the resume is intact.
You can't get any better than that. I mean, it was an incredible year. We said it all year long. But just what this team has done, who they've beaten, to me, there's no question on their legacy.
And how they've beaten them, including tonight. Clint in Baton Rouge is next on the Hooters Hotline. Clint, welcome into the show.
Clint, Charlie, how you doing? Clint, how you doing, brother? I'm live from Academy on Seagan. Go Tigers, boy!
How's the line?
You had a great championship run, brother. And I'll see y'all. I'll see you and I tomorrow, Roosters, man. Go Tigers, baby.
Okay, you'll see him. I'm probably not going to put my head on a pillow until about 4 a.m. Yeah, they're in line. So we've seen some of the pictures have been posted, and it's kind of foggy.
What time does Academy open?
You got me. All I know is there's a line wrapped around the building.
There better be an ice chest full of beer out there for somebody.
I'm just going to guess that there probably is. Dale is in New Orleans. Dale, welcome in the show.
Hey, guys. You know, Charlie, I was really moved by your opening words for Sports Today this morning and really on the post game. And, you know, I'm 32 years old, and I've been lucky enough to see LSU play for 4 titles and win 3 of them now. And, you know, all I could really think about was, you know, my meemaw and pawpaw who were, you know, diehard LSU fans and New Orleans residents, and about my daddy and my uncles. I remember going to the 1995 Independence Bowl, my first game as a 7-year-old, and, man, we were so excited. And, you know, baby in the background crying and my 2-year-old son, and that's what it's all about. And just really happy for Ed and the boys, and go Tigers.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it. Those are the stories that I love. Yeah. You know, my grandmother took me to my first LSU game. And I think everybody that the program means something to has got a story like that. Maybe it's your dad or your grandfather or everybody. And then you can take your kids. That to me is what the South Louisiana thing, this LSU family, what it means to people goes a lot further than football. It's a reason to go out and half a dozen times a year or maybe 7 times a year get together with your closest friends and your family and the camaraderie there. And then there's a football game, and then you get emotionally involved in that. And when you get to celebrate something like tonight, you know, it just brings it all back. I'm glad that what I said meant something to him, and I hope it meant something to a lot of other people too that enjoy this one and enjoy it with the people that are closest to you, because that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
I hate to use a cliche, but on a night like tonight, it should hit home.
And it does. You know, I was sitting at the game tonight with guys from the 2003 national championship, and they're talking about it's been 17 years, and they're still talking about locker room stories. I'm sitting with other guys that I played together in 2007. I mean, and it's just the memories of, you know, all these moments. You remember exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. It's one of those times. It's not very many days where you can say, well, this is exactly what happened on, you know, 17 years ago.
Right.
But you know who you were sitting with, who you were watching it with. And
I've heard you tell stories about the 2007 team. Justin was in here. Justin Vincent was in here for the Daily Show. He was telling stories about the day, not the game too, of course, but like earlier in the day about, you know, 2003.
I remember Skip Burtman giving us a pregame speech in the locker room.
Well, that's a new one. I didn't know that.
Skip Burtman came in and kind of, you know, gave us a talk, and there were just so many different things. I can remember sitting in the locker room with my iPod at the time, just listening to music and trying to get in the moment. And you know, I remember there being 2 different waiting rooms. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that you'll never forget.
A lot of people. Probably everybody that cares enough about LSU football to be listening to this show at 1:30 in the morning tonight will remember where they were for this game, whether they were in the stadium or they were watching it at home with family and friends. They'll remember this day. I can guarantee you that. 499-9898 is the number to call. Kevin is in Clinton. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing, man? Look, this has been a season, like, I'll never forget. So obviously, we're not going to have one like this for my lifetime. And if you guys thought that we would ever have a season like this, I don't think you would. Like, nobody could think that. My question is this. At what point in the season did you think, man, these guys could go undefeated? To me, it was the Vanderbilt game. And I don't know why, but it's like after the Vanderbilt game, I was like, you know what, like, we can't lose. And so I just want to know your thoughts. Like, what game was it when it turned on, like, hey, these guys can really do this. Like, they can go all the way.
Thank you, Kevin.
We're going to have the same one.
Third and 17.
Third and 17 at Texas.
Third and 17.
When they may go out there and, you see the confidence to go out there and win the game, and not just what we're so used to is run the ball, keep the clock, and let's play it out. To me, when they had the guts to call that play, they had the talent to execute it. That moment is one of the biggest moments of the season. And obviously it's not just us. Coach Orgeron mentioned it tonight in the post game where he said that that's when he really thought that they could go undefeated.
I couldn't say any better than that. It was almost like the culture changed on one play. They had already changed the offense, but they changed the culture. They changed the mindset, or at least they had been trying to do that, or they were working towards that. And that was the moment that I don't know if they believed before and that, you know, cemented it for them.
Yeah.
But for us, you and I were sitting there watching a game going, did they just call that? Did they just do that?
We're sitting there saying, okay, they're going to do a draw or run the clock out here.
There were two games this year that I thought, before tonight, that I thought they were really, it was going to be all that they could do to win them. Texas, because we didn't know what they were yet.
Yeah.
And Alabama, because it's Alabama. I thought, now had they played Auburn at Auburn or Florida at Florida, I might have felt differently about those games. But I thought, even though those were hard-fought, close
games,
they were at home, and I felt like they would win that. And I thought they were way better than Georgia. I thought they were way better than Oklahoma. I got to the point where I was almost feeling too confident about being confident. And then tonight, okay, it was going to be all you could do to knock off Clemson. But, no, turning point, third and 17. And as far as the dream goes, that you could never dream this season, I think people dreamed this season. You didn't know that it would ever be reality. Yeah. That if you set out everything that you ever wanted, what would you do? There used to be an old joke way back where it said, what was the perfect season at LSU? It was undefeated, untied, unscored upon, fired a coach. Just, you know, to But the modern day equivalent of that is undefeated. There's no ties anymore. Unscored upon, of course, is not realistic. But undefeated, beat all the good teams. Quarterback wins a Heisman. Coach wins Coach of the Year. Win the national championship in the Superdome. I mean, that's about as close as you can get to perfect. That's everything. I mean, you sweep, you know, so many major awards. You set so many records. It wasn't just a championship, you know, man.
When you're talking about doing these things in the perfect season, no one even mentions breaking all the records. And to see it happen the way it did this year.
Those are the type of things that are legendary, okay? They just are. Daryl is in Geismar. Daryl, welcome into the show.
Hey, Charlie, how's it going?
Fantastic.
What a great night for all Tiger fans.
Absolutely was. Is.
Listen, I got a name for you.
Okay.
All right. The first time I was in Tiger Stadium, the quarterback, when they bunched all those gold helmets under the post and they came running out and I was just a little kid, was Mike Miley. Do you remember him?
I'm not old enough to have seen Mike Miley play, and I actually asked probably about a month ago if we could dig up some film on Mike Miley, because I've heard so much about him and the legend of Mike Miley, and, of course, his life was cut tragically short. But, no, I'm not old enough to remember seeing Mike Miley play.
And he could run and throw, and that was the first quarterback that I was introduced to as a kid. I'm maybe a little older than you, but he was – that's what got me hooked on LSU football for all these years. And – listen, all the way up until now, I've sat on Nicholson Drive and listened to you talk me off the cliff for so many years.
Glad to be of service.
Oh, and with Jim and his, oh, my goodness, you know, everything that's happened. And this is the greatest. It's just the greatest season. This is perfection. This is what we've been looking for. And Bama and all that crap. Look. This trumps it all, you know, and this guy and the Heisman and that speech, it's just all perfect. And Coach O and coming along, this is just the greatest night for all Tiger fans.
Well said, Daryl. Enjoy this one. You've earned it. And all Tiger fans deserve to just reveling.
It's truly the storybook ending to the season.
Yeah. The celebration just starts tonight.
Yeah.
It's by no means going to end anytime soon. And that's the – well, we'll just – we all get back to Baton Rouge. Look, the party's going on out behind us right now. I understand that. Wait till we get back to Baton Rouge. Just you wait till we get back to Baton Rouge. 499-9898 is the number to call on the Hooters hotline. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Among the many things the folks here at Ochsner here in Benson Towers provide us with, man, they brought us Cheetos. I thought that was nice of them.
That is pretty Cheetos, nice of them.
Cheetos and Doritos, you know, it's late, man.
I saw that. I was like,
a little snacking.
I might have to go sneak over there here.
A big old bag of them over there. You want some Cheetos? LSU wins at 42-25, win the national championship in the Superdome tonight. 499-9898 is the number on the Hooters hotline. We also want to thank our friends at Etail Business and Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge for our coverage all week long here in New Orleans. Let's see. Jarro is in Falls River. Jarro, welcome into the show.
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
Couldn't be better.
Congratulations to the team, to the coach, Joe, everybody. And I know a good friend of mine that used to work at the radio, Dan Day, is probably all excited there. Down in Miami.
You know, Dan Day produced post game for a big, big chunk of the last, 10, Rick, 12, 14 years, whatever.
Yeah, for years.
Yeah, so Dan Day stayed up a lot of Saturday nights with us, for sure. So, yeah, I bet he is enjoying this one.
Oh, I bet he's sitting on the beach having a good margarita or whatever.
Yeah, I bet he is.
I still talk to him all the time, but I'm sure he's still really excited right now.
Yeah, I bet he is. Jarro, thank
Dan,
you. Thank
Dan
you.
Was a great friend of mine.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. You know, we've been lucky. Thank you very much for the call. We've been lucky. We've had I'm 2 decades into this thing with post game, but you know, Dan produced for so many years. Scotty Drake, who just retired a couple of years ago for years. You know, Gordy was on here with Rish. You know, sat in your chair for 7 or 8 years. And, you know, we Todd McClure I saw today, who did a stint for a couple of years with us, got a chance to visit with him pregame today. We've been doing this a while. We've had some other national championships, okay? But this one – this one tops them all.
Yeah,
this one tops them all.
You talk about there. You had other national champions, and you know this season. Just you can't match the season we just went through.
No,
with the Heisman Trophy quarterback, and you know, a quarterback is such a big position in the game of football. It's the guy that you know wins games and loses games. He gets all the credit, you know, when they win, and all the blame when they lose. But to have that guy, to have the Heisman Trophy quarterback on your team, to got to break all these records, I mean, it's just magical to watch.
Doesn't mean that the other national championships aren't tremendously important and moving. With the Patriots do this deal where when they celebrate another title, they haul out all the other trophies too. I think that's a good idea.
No doubt.
I think when they bring this trophy back to Baton Rouge and they have the celebration, yeah, bring the rest of them out. Let's all celebrate together. That's going to be fun. Jules is in Abbeville. Jules, welcome into the show.
Victory for LSU.
Yeah, baby. Sing it.
What a night, man. I go back to the patch screen days. I can remember watching the Tigers beat Texas in the 63 Cotton Bowl 13-0 at the 65 Sugar Bowl when we beat Syracuse with Jim Nance and Floyd Little 13-10. Morrow caught the winning touchdown pass. But, man, great, great, great. Even better than the basketball ending Saturday.
That was pretty cool, too.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool, too.
Charles, y'all's thoughts on why so few rushing attempts in the first half. I think Clyde had 4 attempts in the first half.
Yeah, I think, you know, Richard, you talked about some of the adjustments that Oklahoma made defensively in the first half and some of the different looks that they gave and that they the changes that they were making even as LSU was trying to change out of some stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of times they were bringing linebackers. They were blitzing guys on almost every, you know, 47 was blitzing 80% of the time, and he was filling gaps. They were running 3- and 4-man fronts, but they were also bringing linebackers up and filling the gaps, and it really, you know, was taking away from the run game. It just wasn't there, and they had to really get the passing game going and start hitting some big passes to make them back off and allow them to run the ball.
He also had to get rid of the ball before he wanted to.
All night long.
More than a few times in that first
quarter. It was a completely different, you know, setup from what he's seen, you know, in the past few games where they were trying to play coverage and didn't want to leave him those one-on-one matches. They felt like they could get home and really make him move his feet more often.
Give Venables credit. He wasn't going to let him sit there.
He did a hell of a good job.
The defense that Auburn played, when they dropped 7 and you know, kept the one guy in the middle of the field and they rushed 3, some teams tried to copy that. Georgia tried to copy that. Oklahoma tried to copy that a little bit.
A&M tried to copy it.
A&M, yeah. Didn't work anywhere nearly as well as for Auburn because they didn't have the up front.
They didn't have the three guys at all.
Yeah, they didn't have those guys. Plus, LSU wasn't very efficient in the red zone that day against Auburn. So it looked like they controlled. They still put up over 500 yards of offense. Yeah. Give Venables credit. He said, if he beats us, he's going to beat us. We're going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
I give him credit for that. He's a good coach.
Go Tigers.
Thank you, Jules. Bye. Appreciate the call. Let's see who's next. Randall is in Prairieville. Randall, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys, man, what a game, right?
Yes, it was.
What a season, what a game. Look, I was just wondering, I didn't catch how many yards Joe wound up with tonight. I was hoping he was going to hit over that 500 mark. But
463,
so he had 5208 to begin with, so but that gives him 5671 for the season.
Yeah, let me see where we at here with the final. Let's see where he is. For the season,
5671.
5671 and 60 touchdown passes, and he broke that record. That was Cole Brennan's record, and the touchdowns responsible for that record was 63. He went over that one as well.
Right. So that 5671 ties him at number 3 with Case Keenum for all-time passing yards record. So in 1 year,
there were more records that he set than the ones that he didn't this year.
Yep. Yeah, he was close to getting all the way to the top.
Thank you, Randall. I think he was at the top. I think he had about as perfect a season as you can have. Ray is in Baton Rouge. Ray, welcome into the show.
What's up, Charlie? Man, it's a pleasure to talk to y'all tonight. But
thank you, Ray.
A lot of people have said tonight, I lost my dad next month of his 2 years. And there's never been a bigger LSU fan. He used to drag me to games in the early 90s when it was not the social event that it is today, but it was not as fun to go to games. But, you know, it makes me think about him a lot and just the way they did it. If you would have come to me 1 year ago, I guess now January 14th, 2019, and told me that Joe Burrow would win the Heisman, LSU would go undefeated and win the national championship, I probably would have bet most of what I have against you on that. And it just, you know, I was blessed to see it with my dad with 03 and 07, but this was a, you know, I told several people at halftime when we were up 20 on Alabama, I'd give just about all I have to call them. And that's just no different tonight, man. And thanks for taking my call. Go Tigers.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Ray. Again, I love these shows. I got a chance to see I saw a lot of people today. It was moving around pretty good. And I've told this story before, but I saw my college roommate with his parents and his son, who is a freshman at LSU. And I think I've told this before, but he and I, in our 4 years, it was the worst 4 years ever. In the history of the program, they lost more games in those 4 years. It was most to Curley and a little bit of the end of Mike Archer's tenure. And we still went to games. We're still big fans. All that, but the team wasn't good.
Yeah.
And when he said they, his dad drug him there in the 90s, there were times where we, you going to a game? I guess. Halftime would be, you know, we were leaving those games at halftime for different reasons than that. And now his son's a freshman, his first year at LSU, and he gets the best season. And
nice way to start off your
year. Yeah, I thought, you know, it was maybe a little bit of payback because his dad and I suffered through enough of the bad games that
he gets
that
start
Jed
the
gets to, you know, go and see this. 499-9898 is the number to call. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Ready for a unique stat? Here's one we haven't gone through yet. A friend of mine just pointed this one out to me. So we were talking about how many teams that LSU has beaten in what is now the final AP poll, which is five of the top eight, seven of the top 25. You know who the preseason AP Top 25 was? Number one team, Clemson. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Oklahoma. 98.1.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, that's who we are. top four teams in the AP preseason poll beat them all.
Yeah.
Now, Clemson wasn't on the schedule. Georgia wasn't on the schedule. Oklahoma wasn't on the schedule. LSU was number six in the preseason. How'd you feel if they – okay, well, you want to win the national championship, you know you got to be at Alabama. At Alabama, you got to beat Clemson, Georgia, and Oklahoma, too, and none of those games are going to be in Tiger Stadium.
It's pretty tough to
say. Yeah, more than somewhat. 499-9898 is the number to call. Bill is in Baton Rouge. Bill, welcome into the show.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Bill.
I was just looking at my bucket list, and I found the one here that says, see LSU football go undefeated and win national championship. I'll put a check next to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, I wanted to say that LSU defeated the number one and number two scoring defenses in the country. They also beat Florida, Alabama, and Auburn, who were all like in the top 17 in scoring defense. And lastly, the thing I wanted to say was that we not only won the SEC, we won the old a sampling of the old Southwest Conference because we beat Arkansas, we beat Oklahoma, we beat Texas, and we beat Texas A&M, man. So
another good way to put it, Bill.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for your call tonight. He said checklist. You saw Ed Ogeron's mother's checklist out in the front yard. You hadn't seen this?
I heard about it. I hadn't seen it.
They did this at Christmas time. They decorated a yard, and there was a list on with the Santa Claus. Anyway, it was be the head coach at LSU and beat Alabama and win the SEC and win the national title. And it's all of these things. There was when one of them said, and raise oil prices. You know, it's South Lafourche, right? I think everything but the oil prices, I think they've taken care of.
Got to have things still lit up.
Miss Coco's list, so. If this is one that, I guess satisfied one part of your bucket list, and you know, for me it is to see LSU go undefeated and the Heisman Trophy and all that. Yeah, I had seen them win two titles in the Dome, and that was great. And this was great
to me,
too.
The season was so spectacular and amazing and great. It had to end great too.
And it did. It. And the reason, look, if 11 had never happened, okay, if that team had just been a number 10 team in the country, they had gone 9-2 in the regular season, won a bowl game, it might not have been so absolutely imperative that the season ended this way for us to feel good about it, okay? If that hadn't happened, we would have been able to appreciate the season that they had, even if Clemson had nipped them tonight. You've still been disappointed and upset, of course. I get that. But the way that the fans were left at the altar in 2011 meant that, no, I'm sorry.
You gotta
the manner in which they lost that game is, no, you got to finish you got to finish this time. And thankfully they did. Bo is in Uptown. Bo, welcome into the show.
Charlie, thanks for taking my call. Sitting in the backyard, Uptown New Orleans right now. Made my way home from the Dome. It took a while, but I finally found an Uber. I'm cracking the cigar and the Johnny Walker Blue, and I'm thinking back.
It's expensive scotch.
I'm thinking back.
Where's your address? You're right. You got Rich's attention.
I got a good friend of mine from Natchez, Mississippi, sitting here with me. And we're thinking back to our early days of making Independence Bowl runs and bringing the magic back. And we're really just soaking up all of it right now. And I remember telling my wife in 2003 that LSU was going to play in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Little did I know that we were going to do it three times, and then that 2011-2012 run that everybody wants to forget, and it took eight more years and just literally soaking up everything that we can, and I appreciate you guys doing the broadcast. So I want to express that first and just tell you that, you know, we're sitting here in the backyard having a cigar, drinking a scotch, and just really loving what you guys are doing. One thing I want to ask you about and just get y'all's comment on is the play that the Clemson linebacker got knocked, you know, he went out of the game with the targeting call. I thought that was kind of iffy, but just want to get your take on that. But, look, great season. I've called you in the past, and we're just soaking it all up and loving every minute.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it. You guys enjoyed the evening. I think there's a lot of people that are too tired and too wired to sleep.
Exactly. You know?
I thought the rule was applied properly on the thing. I don't like the rule. I don't think that we've said this. You know, since they put the rule in, I'm all for player safety, and I think that this should be a penalty. I don't think it should warrant an ejection. Okay, this young man's been busting his butt the whole year.
In the national championship game.
This is a national championship game, and you know, 2 years ago it was Devin White, or last year, excuse me, it was Devin White. You know, and you took the first half of the Alabama game because the kid's playing football. Okay, now did this meet the criteria for targeting? Did he lower his head? Yes. Did he launch himself? Pretty much. And did he make contact with the head and neck area? Yeah, he did. I don't like the ejection part of this. This is, we used to call this spearing.
There's a malicious intent.
Yeah,
I can see you being ejected for. But there's some football plays that just happen that way, and I don't think it's fair to eject certain people. You've seen the ones we know we're talking about. A guy's going across the middle. He launches, puts his helmet underneath the guy's chin, trying to knock him out.
Trying to hurt him.
Yeah.
Did you think this kid was trying to hurt?
No. He was a neck roll guy. He was the guy that would, you know, put his head down and try to hit somebody square. I think it was a big play or big turning point for LSU because he was the guy that caused havoc all game long.
Yeah. I think the rule was probably applied by the letter of the law. I don't like the rule. 15 yards, absolutely. We used to call this spearing, okay?
Yeah.
You hit with the top of the headgear, okay? If you hit somebody with the top of the headgear, yes, you're going to get 15 yards. And maybe if you got multiple fouls in the same game. But this is a kid that's trying to make play, and his helmet
hits
the other guy's head.
Like, two of them, you're out the game.
Fine. Yeah, absolutely. This is your first spearing call. Yes. They call it targeting. It's spearing.
It's the old moniker
for it. Patrick is driving on Highway 90. Patrick, welcome in the show.
Hey, Charlie. Another stat for you. I think the combined records of the LSU opponents was 60-9.
The opponents in?
For the year.
60 and, well, no, they had to play more games than that. You played 15 teams.
Oh, that's true. My bad.
Yeah, you got some pretty good records here.
I like where your head's at. We're still trying to find out what other.
We're looking for fresh takes on this. Let me see what the combined record was of just the ranked teams in the top 10 here. If I can do this real quick here.
Okay, so Alabama lost two. Clemson lost one.
All right, 14-1, 26-3, 27, 38-5, 50-7, 61-9. Oh, you know what he didn't even realize maybe what he was trying to do.
Top 25.
The top 10. Top 8, as it turns out. Yeah. 61-9 is the record of the five teams in the top 8 that LSU beat.
It's
impressive. Not all of them, but yeah. Yeah. And then you throw in a 9-4 Auburn team and an 8-5 Texas team who also ended up ranked. Pretty good. Pretty good. Sid is in Boulder, Colorado. Sid, welcome into the show.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad I got through. Go Tigers. And I've been listening for years. I'm a big fan of y'all's show. And, you know, it's times like this, and I know y'all are old enough to remember, at least Charlie is, this is for all the long-suffering fans in the 1990s. To this day, it amazes me that LSU had that many losing seasons with the talent that we have in the state. And I always remembered a conversation I had with a big shot in the Auburn sports department. This was back in about 1990. And I went to this big Auburn party down in Orange Beach, and we were having a really good time. And I was like one of 30 people, the 29 were Auburn fans. And I was the only one with an LSU hat. So we're at this big dinner table, and this guy, this big shot in the sports department, he calls me out, and he goes, "I'm going to tell you what." And I said, "Go ahead, I'm ready." And he goes, "You know what? As long as Joe Dean is the athletic director at LSU, y'all will never be relevant in the SEC." And, of course, I refuted him, disagreed, put up my arguments. You know, we had two SEC championships in the 80s, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? He was 100% right. And for the people that had to suffer through the 90s, this is just so wonderful for all the tough times that we had to go through as Tiger fans.
Sid, you know, unfortunately, that's true. It is. Winning was deemed too expensive in the 90s.
Yes.
They weren't willing to – they wanted to be good. They didn't want to be bad, but they didn't want to be great either. And I'll argue that point with anybody, because there's some pretty influential people that – well, Skip said that on the show. I mean, I'm not talking out of school here. Skip Berman said that on the show. He was the baseball coach at the time, and he had to go out and raise a lot of his own money and do a lot of his own things, because they simply weren't going to provide him with some of the resources that he needed to compete for national championships. So Skip did it himself. And his quote was, he said he worked for an athletic director that wanted to finish fourth. He didn't want to finish 10th, but he didn't want to finish first because it cost too much money. And that – thankfully is a thing of the past, but that was true. And it's not like that anymore. Sid, thank you for the call. I want to expand a little bit on something though. I think that as we put a little bit of distance behind this championship in this off season, for me, it's changed where the LSU job is. I always thought that LSU was a top 10 job.
Yeah.
Top 15 job if you go back to the 90s or something like that, maybe top 20 at that time. But I've always thought since 2000 that this was a top 12-ish job. And then as we got further into the 2000s, probably a top 10 job for sure. I think it's a top 5 job now. I, for years, had a top 5 in my head of jobs. Don't think about the current teams. Think about the resources at the facilities, the recruiting base, right, the conference that you're in, the amount of money. Okay,
yeah.
I use the word resources to be polite. It's money.
Yeah.
Okay, it was always for me. It was Texas, Florida, Ohio State, USC, Oklahoma. Those were the top 5 jobs in the country. I don't think that anymore. I don't think that Oklahoma is a better job than LSU anymore. And you want to talk about, there was 2-3 callers back. The guy said, you know, the Independence Bowl, and we were delighted to go to the Independence Bowl. Yeah. We were talking during the game tonight. It's like, you remember when we missed out on the CarQuest Bowl? Anybody remember the CarQuest Bowl? 1993, they had to beat Arkansas to go to the CarQuest Bowl, and instead of the oranges that they had back in 82, everybody had these keychains. They went to this, they gave out keychains to the students because they were going to go play in the CarQuest Bowl. I think it was against Penn State in Miami. And Arkansas ran for 17,000 yards on LSU that day. They're still running the option, and LSU ain't had a clue about stopping them. But the idea back then that LSU would be a better job than Oklahoma, it is.
Yeah.
They're in a better conference. They got better resources. They've got a better recruiting base here. It's a better job than that. It's a better job right now than USC. Because USC's administration has been a hot mess for long enough to where it's finally trickled down and just blasted the actual football team. You look at the history of USC, you got to try hard.
Yeah.
Mess that up, man. Okay? I mean, you got to really try.
Well, you're
it's
in
a better
LA.
It's a better job now than that. You look at what Texas and its massive recruiting base in the state of Texas, its massive recruiting base in the state of Florida, and Ohio State, the same thing. And you're like, man, this job ain't any worse than those. The facilities are there. The conference is there. The winning tradition, you won three national championships now since 2003. All of that's there. You can win. You've won with multiple coaches, so you didn't fall backwards into, oh, well, they fluked out that one. No.
And to that point, I mean, the recruiting ground, Louisiana is such a strong football state. You got where you're talking about Texas A&M, Texas, Florida, yeah. Miami, Oklahoma. Everybody's coming to Louisiana to recruit these kids. There's so much talent in the state that, you know, Coach Orgeron, the first thing he said is, like, we got to put the wall up around. We got to get our guys to stay here because we have the best talent, you know, in any region. And to me, it shows you that all great coaches, Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Coach Ed Orgeron, but what they do well is they recruit the state of Louisiana. And Ed O is just – He's turned this into a national-based deal. He's not only going to get the best guys in Louisiana, but he's also going out to get the best guys in the country.
And for quarterbacks, too.
Yeah.
Which you can't win games 17-14 and win a championship anymore.
No.
You got to put a lot of points on the board.
When you're winning games like that, you better have a great quarterback in state. You better have a top-tier quarterback in state because you're going to rely on these family ties to get them to stay in.
Yeah, see, and Louisiana's not guaranteed. They're guaranteed to produce great talent every year. They're not guaranteed to provide great quarterbacks every year. More often than not, I think probably 3 years out of five, maybe even 4 years out of five, Louisiana's not going to have a top 10 quarterback in the prep ranks. So you're going to have to go to Texas. You're going to have to go to Florida. You're going to have to work the transfers. That's the thing. Now, I'm not just saying that because of Burrow. We're not the only school that has benefited from a quarterback transfer. That's going to be a thing. So yeah, the national part of it is absolutely true. 499-9898 is the number to call. We continue to celebrate LSU's 42-25 win over Clemson. Tigers are the national champions. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Back here at the Benson Towers, Ochsner being our host here during our championship day coverage. It's been a long day. Our engineers have been out this nearly 24 hours now. Kudos out to Bo and Rick and Joe and Cade and all those guys. They've been up a while, and we're winding up. So we'll take a few more calls here. And then we're going to call it a night. Brian is in Lafayette. Brian, welcome into the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yeah. National championship, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I'm talking about. It was really an awesome game. Loved every bit of it. You know, I do believe so much in this and the aspiration and desire of what Tigers have. You know, they – as we keep on going, I really do believe to keep affirming them. You know, they are one of the best in the league, in the National League. They are here for the best, and you know, I just
I'm gonna keep going for him. Yeah, I really did like what Joe, you know, Joe had to offer in the corner. The cornerbacks were actually good too. And I don't know. I don't want y'all to take on that. And I don't know. I'm so happy.
I get it, Brian. You're all over the place, man. It's okay. It's okay. I'd answer the question, but I'm honestly not sure what he asked me. So
the cornerbacks did play well tonight, and I kind of pointed out
earlier. Okay, I'll get the corner. Yeah, yeah.
The quarter, you know, Joe Burrow played amazing, but if you go back and look at the stats, to hold Ross and Higgins to zero touchdowns, to hold Travis Etienne, right, to hold Trevor Lawrence to zero touchdowns, you're talking about the guy that everyone's saying is next year's first round draft pick. They said that he is more talented than Joe Burrow. He's got more of a skill set, and you held him to 200 yards. Zero touchdowns. You held those receivers everybody said was going to give us trouble to zero touchdowns. That's credit to Fulton. That's credit to Stingley, Delpit. I mean, in the game plan that they had, they played those guys man-to-man, played a guy over the top, and they stopped them from the big play.
Think about where Clemson was a year ago tonight or a year ago this weekend. They turned Alabama inside out. They didn't just beat them. They thumped them. No, it's not the same team. I get it. They lost that defensive line. But it's the same quarterback. It's the same running back. It's some of the same receivers. It's mostly the same coaching staff. It's a lot of the principles that took Alabama and beat them within an inch of their life last year at this time that LSU just flipped the script on.
Yeah.
Now, LSU last year lost to Alabama 29-0. Okay. So it gives you an idea of what a difference a year can make. That's where those programs were. And look, Alabama's still going to be good. They're still going to be a top five team when the preseason polls come out next year. So is Clemson. In fact,
Clemson's the favorite to win the national championship in 2021
right
now.
Because of Trevor Lawrence, they will probably be I will be very, very surprised if they're not preseason number one.
I saw the latest odds for winning. Mm-hmm. They're like +200. LSU is +800. Mm-hmm. I think Alabama was right there with like the third best odds.
I wouldn't get too carried away with what LSU's number is today, as opposed to what it will be a week from today when we know what the NFL draft looks like. Okay,
I'm gonna be at a lot of spring practices this year.
Yeah, there's gonna be some new people. There's gonna be some new people.
I gotta
to look
figure
at.
It all out.
Yeah, but that's okay. We'll take that assignment on.
Like, take it from what Joe Burrow said in his post game. Let's just enjoy this one for now.
Yes,
let's enjoy it for a few days.
Oh, look, we're gonna enjoy it for more than a few days, man. There's gonna be. Well, I don't know I know what they did the last few times that they won the national championship, and there was a nice ceremony, and one year there was a parade and all that. Whatever they want to do, we'll be there.
I just remember being really, really cold for the celebration. We did it inside Tiger Stadium. We ran out the tunnel.
I was there.
And it was freezing.
It was. we went inside. We were on the club level or the suite level or whatever. We got inside in a hurry. I remember it was very cold.
It was probably like the coldest day of the year, and all of a sudden we got to go stand outside.
Yeah. We'll do it better this time. Yeah. We'll do it better this time. We're going to come back and wrap up our coverage here, the national championship. LSU wins it tonight, 42-25. Back to wrap things up, Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day. Stat check. Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business has fast, reliable internet that's backed by the 24/7 support of Perfect Plan identifiers, expert listeners, and flexible installers. Expect more. Switch today at coxbusiness.com.
All right, here's your yardstick. First downs, LSU 29-23 for Clemson. Total yards, though, 628 for LSU and 394 for Clemson. Did it feel that lopsided to you?
It really didn't. It felt like a closer game, like I said, until about a little over, right around halfway through the fourth quarter.
Passing yards, Tigers 463, LSU Tigers 463, Clemson in 234, LSU 165 yards on the ground, Clemson 160. Penalties, 11 for LSU for 118 yards, 7 for Clemson for 65. Third down efficiency, this was a monster number for LSU tonight. The Tigers were 4 of 14, not that stat. The third down stat for Clemson was 1 out of 11. That was a tough one. And, you know, I talked a lot about the time of possession, 34-45 for LSU, 25-15 for Clemson. I talked a lot about red zone efficiency. And, well, LSU was not quite perfect tonight, but pretty close. Actually, I guess they were because it was a 45-yard field goal.
It was outside of red zone.
Yeah, so touchdown percentage was high. Individual numbers, Joe Burrow, 31 of 49, 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Trevor Lawrence, 18 of 37, 234, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 16 carries, 110 yards. And Joe Burrow, 14 carries for 58 yards. It's taken out the 5 sacks. He was up at 84 yards total before the sacks were taken out. Travis Etienne, 15 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence, 10 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown. And T. Higgins took a reverse 36 yards for a score. Those were the 3 Clemson touchdowns. Receiving, Jamar Chase, 9 catches, 221 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, 9 catches for 106 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 5 catches for 54 yards. Terrace Marshall, 3 catches for 46 yards and a touchdown. He did high point that ball pretty well, did he? And Thaddeus Moss, 5 catches for 36 yards and 2 touchdowns. Didn't realize, wasn't thinking of it this way, that Randy Moss, who played for the 49ers in the Super Bowl against the Ravens, played his last game ever in the NFL in the Superdome. Didn't win it. His son came back. And nice for it to come full circle. Thad talked a little bit about that in the post game. For Clemson, Justin Ross, 5 catches, 76 yards. Braden Galloway, 2 catches for 60 yards. T. Higgins, 3 catches for 52 yards. And Travis Etienne, 5 catches for 36 yards. Defensively, Patrick Queen led the way for LSU. 8 tackles tonight, including 6 solos, a half a sack, and 2.5 tackles for losses. Jacob Phillips also had 8 total tackles tonight with 5 solos and a half of a tackle for loss. Tackles for loss, Kristen Fulton, Grant Delpit, Rashard Lawrence, Jacoby Stevens had a half, and Glenn Logan. Nolan Turner led the way for Clemson, 10 total tackles, and Kevon Wallace with 9 total tackles, 6 solos for Clemson. And that is your stat check.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day. Game ball. Presented by Baton Rouge Metro Airport. Baton Rouge Metro Airport. It's about time.
Suppose we could single out some guys, but I don't know. Seems kind of appropriate, Rich, at the end of this day, the end of this game, the end of this perfect historical season, we give a game ball to the whole team.
Yeah, there's no question.
Everybody played a role. And it all came together.
You know, everybody has, you know, their highlight moments, but, you know, Joe Burrow and Coach O say it best. I mean, it's a team sport. Joe Burrow can't throw all those passes without the offensive line. He can't score those touchdowns without the guys catching the ball. It's a team effort, and, you know, this is one of the best things about a season like this is it's the team trophy.
Yeah.
You know, you win all these awards and trophies, these individual deals, but nothing feels better than hoisting that trophy with your teammates at the end of the year.
It has been a wonderful ride. Wherever you are, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy it tomorrow. Enjoy it forever. This one we'll never forget. LSU caps off a 15-0 season with a national championship. I want to thank our team here. First of all, our friends here at Ochsner, Darrell and his entire staff were just terrific for us today, providing this setup for us that was really, really convenient to what we needed to do next door at the Superdome. Thanks to our engineering team. These guys have been up nearly 24 hours now. Bo and Rick and Joe and Cade, they're ready to pack it up. But 24 hours for them. Richard, thanks so much for your help all season, and for Justin Vincent, who's with us for the home games. For Musso back in the studio, I know he's happy. We watched enough games with that guy. I know that cat's happy. If I know Musso, he's got the game DVR. He's gonna go home and he's gonna watch it again until the sun comes up. Just a guess.
That's the only, you know, if, like I said, if my kids were in Baton Rouge, I would go home right now because I know I got a DVR at the house.
Right. Well, there'll be time to watch it, and I'm guessing it's going to be replayed time and time again. Historic night in LSU history ends as LSU wins it 42-25, and they're the 2019 national champions. For Richard Dixon, for Musso, for Joe and Bo and Rick and Kate, I'm Charles Haniger saying thank you and good evening. This has been Eagle 98.1 Game Day.